You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Surprise, surprise, it's not Carlin. It is Anita Marks. In for Carlin was last week, in this week. He's on vacation. Hopefully he's enjoying himself as much as one can enjoy themselves in a pandemic world, right? I mean, you know, I had off this weekend. And when I found out I had off, I was just like, oh, this is great. Where am I going to go? And then I was just, and then it was like reality set in, right? And it was like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Even if I go somewhere, like, you know, I'm not doing the restaurant thing. I'm not doing the outside cafe thing. I'm not doing the beach thing. Who wants to be on a beach with a mask? What a horrible face tan that'll leave you. So I ended up staying local. But anyway, I hope Chris Carlin is enjoying his time off. Anita Marks with you tonight. We've got Ty, who's back in the studio. Ty, you holding down the fort. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing well. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. You had the weekend off too, right?
I did indeed have the weekend off.
Did you happen to go anywhere?
I went to, right?
It's kind of like, where am I going to go? Yeah, when I get there, what am I going to do?
Not too many opportunities.
Do I want to stay in a hotel room? Do no. I want to be in a bubble? What did you say?
There aren't too many opportunities out there given the circumstances, but I did get a chance to go visit my parents this past weekend, so that was fun.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. So Ty's holding down the fort back in New York. We've got Kai and Nikki who are working the phones. I'm coming to you live from the living room of my apartment with my five dogs. I'm excited for the show we have scheduled for you today. Jessica Mendoza is going to join us this hour. We'll head to the left coast. Of course, she's out there in LA. She's going to be joining us around 7:30. We'll talk to her about Major League Baseball as I hate calling them the boys, right? The men of summer, even though they're not in Florida and Arizona, as we know, they are in their own selective cities and stadiums getting ready. And of course, the schedule came out yesterday, so a lot to dive into with Jessica Mendoza, who is still covering Major League Baseball for ESPN. So excited to have her on the show this evening. Also, good friend Matt Berry, you know him as the Sports Center anchor, but also a huge, huge golf fan and golf analyst for ESPN. He's going to be joining us at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. Very interesting scenario this week when it comes to the PGA Tour. It is in Ohio right now. The Rocket Mortgage Classic just took place, and DeChambeau just like was unbelievable. So really excited to talk to Matt about DeChambeau. But what's really interesting is that the next 2 weeks, the tour stop is the same location. It's the same course. And I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of the tour before, or if it has, how many times it has happened. But it's kind of odd. It's kind of strange. I spent a good handicap. If you don't know, now you know. I handicap golf for ESPN. So I have a big, we have each and every Wednesday morning, we have a big article that comes out, our picks. Who do we expect to win? Who do we have in the top 40, top 30, top 20? We're by the way, that's where you really win your money, I think, is, you know, it's so hard to like pick a winner, especially right now on the PGA Tour. Guys have been playing exceptional golf, which is really, really surprising. You know, they hit the ground running when they came back from the pandemic, and scores have just been off the charts. But nonetheless, excited to have Matt on the show with us, and a very interesting 2 weeks ahead. This week it's at the Murrayfield Village Golf Course. So this week is like, it's kind of like a, well, next week is Memorial. That's the big one. This one is like, it's called the Workday Charity Golf Event. Okay. But next week, there is some anticipation that Tiger Woods will be back, hopefully active and attractive on tour again. And also very interesting, the tour next week, Memorial was supposed to be the week that fans were allowed to attend golf events. But because of the uptick in COVID-19 cases in around the country, that was 86. That was scrapped. So Still no fans on tour. But anyway, we will dive into some PGA Tour talk around 8 o'clock and hopefully help you win some money heading into that tournament that kicks off on Thursday. And then, of course, our big article gets posted on ESPN and Chalk on Wednesday. Also, DT, former Jets defensive coordinator Dennis Thurman is going to be joining us on the show at 8:30. A lot of NFL news besides just the Patrick Mahomes, which I know we touched on yesterday if you were listening to the show yesterday. Big time deal and numbers more specific today than yesterday. As we know, a 10-year, $450 million extension, $63 million guaranteed, but also pretty much in regard to it, like guaranteed mechanisms. It's the word they're using. Okay. We're looking at this being over $500 million that Patrick Mahomes will more than likely earn in the next 12 years. Unbelievable. So I do want to get into some conversations in regard to like, so what does that mean in regard to expectations? Ty, are you one of those dudes who quotes movies?
Sometimes.
What's the, you know, the Spider-Man with like, didn't his aunt, or was it, wasn't his aunt or his uncle before one of them, before his uncle passed, said, you know, with great something comes great responsibility.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Is that it? Was it great power?
Yes, with great power. It's also a Bible scripture. To whom much is given, much is required.
So, but, and God bless, but I know dudes are, it's like, that's a dude thing. Like memorizing, knowing lines from movies and stuff like that. Like us girls, we don't sit around and like, you know, quote movies and try to guess. It's just not what we do. So I thought maybe that you would come strong with that, and I appreciate it. So that's what I think about when I look at this deal and I look at this contract with Patrick Mahomes. Like, so now what is expected of him? Like, how many Super Bowls does Patrick Mahomes have to win now in order for this deal to be worth it for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Or, you know, is it winning Super Bowls, or is it just being relative? Is it just being in the topic of conversation, always being a top favorite, maybe top three, top five in Vegas? Probability of winning a championship and going to the postseason, just keeping the Kansas City Chiefs relevant for the next 10 years. Is that enough in regard to the contract? Because here's the thing, you know, has Mike Trout ever won a World Series? I'm just curious. And granted, I know baseball is very different than football, but still, team sport's a team sport. Patrick Mahomes just one-upped Mike Trout as the wealthiest athlete given a contract in North America. So I don't know. I'm sure that there's people out there who do feel like with this deal that Patrick Mahomes has that, you know, he should win the Kansas City Chiefs maybe two or three more Super Bowls. I don't know. It's a team sport. You know, and that's, it's very interesting. And I said this yesterday. You talk about great power comes great responsibility. It's across the board. Because very few times do you see quarterbacks, and keep in mind, Patrick Mahomes will now be making $45 million a year. But very few times do you see quarterbacks make that type of money and organizations win championships. Why? Because a large percentage of the cap space is on the quarterback, and therefore teams can't wheel and deal and dabble in free agency. And so now the onus is really going to be on the organization to continue to draft well, to make sure that its core players are contributing in a championship level on rookie deals. Because now you've locked up so much money into Patrick Mahomes. It's really a fascinating conversation to have, and I'm excited to have it with DT coming up at 5:30. And also, Ty invited the ESPN would beat reporter, is that what we would call, Adam Teicher. He's going to be joining us. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN. So, Ty, thank you for getting him for the show. He's going to be joining us at 9 o'clock. Also, we'll have a click or don't click coming your way, probably around 9:30. So a lot to get to. But I do want to start off in regard to what's going on in the NBA and where the NBA is at right now. You had six teams that arrived today in Orlando. Six teams, right? And so what is the protocol? Six teams arrive, and they're going to have to quarantine for 2 days in their hotel before training camp can start. By the way, the Lakers don't show up until Thursday. And also, Ty, did you hear this? That, like, depending... So there's three hotels, whatever you want to call them, lodges, bubbles, I don't know. It's more than a hotel, right? Like, it's an epic hotel. It's an Uber hotel. Like, not Uber as in like car Uber, but like magnificent. It's like
Resorts. They're
there
resorts.
There we go. We finally found it.
We got there.
So there's three resorts that all the 22 teams are going to be staying at. Did you hear this, Ty? That like, so the Bucks and the Lakers and the Celtics and the Clippers, like they get to stay in the new bougie hotel because they're the best teams in the NBA. So depending on where you finished and where your ranking is, dictates what hotel you stay in. So, for example, in a lot of reports today in regard to the Nets, are they having open tryouts for the Nets to see if maybe somebody wants to represent the Nets and go into the bubble? Because what are they going to do? No Kyrie, no Kevin Durant, no DeAndre Jordan, no Chandler, no Dinwiddie. And now, right before we went on, you said that Taurean Prince was just now tested positive for COVID-19. What team are they going to field? On top of that, they get the poopy hotel. Nets, Pelicans, they're in the Days Inn, dude.
Motel 6.
They're in the Motel 6. Well, what is that? What is that about?
You have
man?
To find a way to reward these teams for being as successful as they were during the regular season, because there's no home court advantage. Obviously, no fans will be in attendance. So you got to find a way to, you know, reward them for their hard efforts and their good work during the season.
Yeah, they're getting rewarded, all right. Derek in Brooklyn, I see you. 800-919-3776. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about the NBA. Adam Silver had something very interesting to say today in regard to the bubble. Because here's the thing. I don't know about you. You know, when I'm out and about, you know, I played tennis today. We had the mayor of Hoboken on the show yesterday, Ty. Not sure if you were aware. And in one of the things I said to him before, because I started playing now, you know, I call it my pandemic groove, right? Like, I'm doing a lot of stuff out, like golf, tennis, hiking, you know, just, you know, trying to stay healthy and clear your mind and be as active and safe as possible. So I was saying goodbye to the mayor. I said, one more thing. We need more tennis courts in Hoboken. And he said, well, I hate to say it, but if you go up to Union, New Jersey, which is like just up the aqueduct, there's 9 courts up there. So anyway, I went up there today. I played a little tennis. But anyway, my whole point is conversations I've had with the majority of people about sport, or maybe they might recognize me or they recognize my voice, whatever the case may be. Like, everybody is just, it's like, they're counting the minutes until stuff gets shut down again. Like, pretty much, I'll say 90. And I'm curious, Ty, in regard to the conversations you have with your friends, your family, you know, I would say 90% of the conversations I have with friends, family, or strangers, or just sports enthusiasts are just like, it's just a matter of time. It's not going to last. Like, it'll start, but it's not going to finish. Like, across the board. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, pessimistic, yes, absolutely.
It's totally pessimistic.
It's hard not to be. You want to be optimistic, of course. You want to feel like we are trending toward getting out of this. But when you look at everything that's happening around the country, it's hard for you to wake up every day and feel optimistic. But I will say about the you know, from the sports standpoint of this, I don't see myself engaging with friends and saying, oh, yeah, only a matter of time before it gets shut down, because I don't want to feel like that. We need sports. So I feel like if I put that good energy into the air, it'll mean something.
And I love that. I love that, but I think it's much harder to have that type of mentality and that type of outlook right now than it is the other. But when we get back, Adam Silver had something interesting to say today in regard to that. Here's another thing. Everybody wants to know, what's the number? What's the magic number? And I hate to use the word magic, because magic is usually used in a positive form. This would be a negative form. If the magic number is 30 players inside the bubble come down with COVID-19, we're shutting down. Like, that'd be horrible. Like, we don't have a number, right? But anyway, we get back, I'll share with you what Adam Silver had to say. Also, you know, I commend the NBA a lot, and I say this time and time again. Love Adam Silver. Think he's the best commissioner across the board in all sport. Love, like, the NBA, the way that NBA does things and handles things, especially with the relationship with the owners and the league and the players and the NFL in the NBAPA, like, night and day in regards to what... Totally night and day in what we're seeing with Major League Baseball. Night and day in regard to, you know, Dee Smith and Roger don't really, you know, they're not breaking bread. They're not, you know, they're not having a McCallum 12 anytime soon. But bad move on the NBA yesterday. And I really didn't dive into it. And I will next. A little bit more NBA talk when we get back. Derek, I see you. We'll get your calls. And really excited to have Jessica Mendoza join us at 7:30 tonight.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I always tell people, all things considered, I'm doing well. I'm blessed. So, you know, it's a wild time. You're out on the left coast, right? You're still out in the California area, right?
Yeah, we call it the best coast out here, but it's a little easier to identify.
are things, because, you know, it's very interesting, Jessica, because, you know, here, New York and New Jersey got hit hard and first, and we kind of like, we had to experience things for the first time here, and now it seems like, you know, we're on the downtick, where everyone else is on the uptick. So is it as bad in California as what's being reported?
I actually live in Oregon now. I'm up in the mountains in like a forest, and we have like no cases. So I've been in this bubble, which has been amazing, but it's also weird because I've gone back to California to, you know, see my parents and see family. And as soon as you enter the state, it's just an entirely different vibe. You know, things are closed. And you're right. It's just an overall feeling of just fear. And, you know, I've been out just in this like total, it's this weird feeling to be in a place where, not that you still aren't conscious, and I'm still wearing masks everywhere I go, but we're surrounded by force, so you're not as fearful, I guess, because there's just not as many people.
Interesting. Wow, yeah. That's nice. Because for 3 months we all lived in a petri dish here in New York and New Jersey. So God bless.
Yeah.
Fred Manfred came out and said that in Major League Baseball will be lucky if they get 60 games played. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, and obviously, like, knowing that no one actually knows what's happening, what's going to happen. I mean, there's just no idea. But I looked, you know, the schedule came out yesterday, Anita, and I look at just the regions, and when you think about, you know, NBA and them having their own spot in Orlando, and NHL, you know, everyone's in their own little bubbles. But when you look at the regional setup for the schedule, and you look at just the West region, right? So those 10 teams and what the travel looks like between Texas, Washington, California, like all the states and different areas, I just cringe thinking, you know, how are they going to get through this without having some sort of scare or need to shut down? Now, Rob Manfred's biggest goal is to get to the postseason. So I see them more like, hey, you know what, if we need to skip to get there, if we need to find some way so that we can get to where we're actually making the money we need to make, where we are getting the TV contracts and all that, it's all about that October schedule. So that's really the main goal, and because of that, I can see them. I've been doing games in South Korea for the last 3 months. If they have one positive test, Anita, one positive test, they shut down for 2 weeks. Now, South Korea, I give them a lot of credit, and it's hard to compare to the U.S. because of population, but they have not had one positive test because of how that country has been able to handle and really shut things down in the right way.
Interesting you say that. Again, Jessica Mendoza joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. And I really got into this a lot last night on last night's show. And Sean Doolittle, Washington Nats closer, and I'm sure you were very well aware of his comments because it was trending yesterday. Pretty much, in a nutshell, he said sports are a reward for a functional society. We are a lot worse today than we were in March when we shut everything down. And you could just hear it when he addressed the media, the concern and how frightened he is for not only, of course, for himself, but the player's safety. But it's true. It's kind of wild. You know, we are like maybe not here in New York and New Jersey, Jessica, but like across the country, a lot worse than where we were in March. But yet Major League Baseball is going to, we got to go on with the show, baby. Got to go on with the show.
Yeah, I mean, you hear, I think the biggest thing, and I heard from an Angels pitcher, I think it was earlier today, just completely ream at Major League Baseball because of the lack of tests. There's still, I mean, the Cubs, the Giants have still not been able to, they've had to delay spring training because of lack of tests, the lack of results, the delay in results, and here, all the players are there, they're trying to train, they're trying to play, and yet they still don't know who's positive and not. And so there was a pitcher today that was on MLB Network basically saying, like, shame on this organization. Like, how are we at a point right now when we knew we were going to start at some point that there aren't, like, why would we say spring training is starting and still not even know who's positive or not? And so there's a lot of frustration. And I think that comes from fear, that comes from the unknown. I mean, shoot, I feel it even within my own family, the tension and, you know, the things. And I'm not even being placed in a situation where I feel like, you know, I could possibly, you know, get this disease. And so I feel for the players because there's so much unknown. And I think about someone like Mike Trout, who's about to have his first baby next month. And the debate that he's going on in his own head and has publicly said he's not sure if he's going to play because he doesn't want to put his own family in danger. So there's so much right now. And I think you're right. The fact that these tests aren't even all the way, we don't even know all the players, says a lot about if this is even ready to go.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Mike Trout. You know, we already have Ryan Zimmerman, David Price, Ian Desmond, Nick Markakis came out yesterday. Very, very powerful. If you really listen to what Nick Markakis said yesterday, he said what really kind of put him over the top in making the decision was the conversation he had with Freddie Freeman. And because here's the thing, Jessica, the majority of professional athletes that are coming down with COVID-19 are asymptomatic or not really having a very serious reaction to COVID-19. So I think the perception is, well,
yeah,
these are healthy guys, right? And so they'll be okay. And it just sounded to me like in regard to Nick Markakis talking to the media, like, hey, that's really not the case for everyone. I guess my question to you, Jessica, is if Mike Trout does come out and say, I'm not going to play, how many more players, because it's Mike Trout, because it's the face of Major League Baseball, how many more players do you think will say, you know what, I'm not going either?
I mean, I think when you have your star, you know, in any situation, but even just bigger names, I mean, I felt like reading David Price's words and knowing he's on with an organization and a team that have a chance to win it all, you know, I mean, passing that up, the amount of almost $12 million this year. And you think about that because of the health and safety of his family, it makes you pause. And I think the bigger names, and I guarantee there's going to be more. And it's not just the player, but you got to think about, like, if I'm a wife myself, and it's like, this isn't just about you. This is about us. And the decisions that are being made are a collective family trying to decide what's best for the family, and that you can't argue. You know, you can't tell a player you should or should not do something. when it comes down to the overall health, not only of themselves, but obviously the people that are closest to them.
Certainly not. Certainly not. With that being said, Jessica, the schedule did come out yesterday. And, you know, I've been reading a lot of, like, you know, winners and losers in regard to the schedule. Before we dive into that, one thing, another thing that I'm hearing is that because it's a shortened season, only 60 games, teams now that have exceptional bullpens have a huge advantage. And I've heard that across the board with a number of people. A, do you agree with that? And B, why is that? Kind of explain to us why a top-notch bullpen helps a team, a Major League Baseball team, with a shortened season.
Well, the rosters have expanded to 30 players and guaranteed that those extra players are now going to be back in arms. So they're all going to be bullpen guys that are going to be able to manipulate, use, and there's a new rule this year. You're only allowed to, you have to pitch to a minimum of three batters. I don't even think that that affects this because there's going to be so many guys back there. And so I think the teams, it's going to be worse than we've ever seen it, Anita. And I hate this. I say worse because I'm not a fan of a starter going four innings or five innings. And then here comes a line of six or seven players that you're going to see before the game is over. I understand the strategy. I mean, honestly, it is a smart strategy. If you're only facing, you know, one arm and you know that that arm is set up to be the best arm that can face you as a batter, of course. Like, it's set up for that team. But for the game itself, to see pitching change after pitching change after pitching change, and also losing that power of, like, the individual. Like, when you have a guy like Max Scherzer that's in there for, you know, even seven, eight innings, it doesn't have to be a complete game anymore, but a significant amount of the game, and then maybe you see three more arms after that, like, that just makes sense. It's something you can really sink your teeth into, but the way the game is going to look is going to be so much more about bullpens because they've expanded the rosters. And those extra guys are going to be arms from the bullpen. They're going to help teams. And the more arms that people have that are successful, they're right. I mean, they're going to be able to manipulate, hey, we're facing this Nationals lineup. So now we can mix and match lefties, righties. This guy doesn't hit curveballs. Here's my curveball pitcher. Here's my lefty specialist. Here's my guy that just throws 99 to 100. I mean, that's really what the game is going to be about because there's only 60 games and they can just let these guys go.
Last thing for you before I let you go, to do whatever it is you guys do in Oregon, which sounds like a treat right now in this pandemic world, the Mets and the Yankees. We know this, not, you know, obviously just not just a shortened season in regard to games, but also opponents playing the American League and the National League East for both. Both of them kind of tough. Now, the Mets, 43 of their 60 games are against opponents who finished the season last year 500 or better. And the Yankees, they start the season pretty, they've got a pretty tough start. 33 of their first 36 games are against opponents who finished either 500% or better.
Yeah, this is the one year we're all going to look back for a million reasons, but another huge one is literally these teams are only playing nine other teams. I mean, wrap your mind around that. Like, and whoever gets that schedule, and you know, you can argue that I agree that I feel like the East in general has it the worst, just because of the competitive, like, there's just so many more good teams on that East region. But then I look at the West region, and you've got, there was something posted yesterday of just literally the lines drawn for all the miles that are going to have to be traveled in a 60, like, basically, game span for those teams. It's ridiculous. If you look at, like, the small little region of the Central, and then you've got the West, and, yeah, they might not be as competitive, but those guys are going to be all over the place in a time when you don't want to be all over the place. So there's going to be that fear and just uncomfortability, like, not feeling like, I want to be on the road to all these different places. So I look at it as everyone's going to look back and have reasons why people end up. But the good news is a lot more teams are going to be in the postseason, and that's really when it's going to matter. Then everyone is going to play each other, and we'll really get to see who the best team is.
Jessica, so great to hear your voice. I'm glad that you and your family are safe and healthy, and we so appreciate your time this evening on 98.7 ESPN, my friend. Thank you.
Anita, good to hear yours, too. We need to see each other soon, hopefully not long.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. She's Jessica Mendoza. I'm Anita Marks in for Chris Carlin tonight.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Matt, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. I really do appreciate it. How are you?
Anita, my pleasure. I'm doing well. You know, we're finally in the midst of a little golf weather here in the Northeast. So playing a lot of golf, enjoying the golf, being back, and hopefully we keep trending in the right direction with every sport.
Yeah, tell me about it. You know, anytime you want to take a ride up here, you know, I could get us on a few good courses. You know,
I'm in.
What?
I'm in. Yes. Look, we've got plenty of time on our hands to play before we start getting busy again.
What's your handicap?
I am now in the high 14s.
Okay. That's so funny. I was just, and not to name drop, but I'm good friends with Kevin Burkett, and he literally was just texting me right now, and he's playing a lot of golf, and I asked him, what's your handicap? And he said, so the three of us are all 14s. So,
you know what
right.
It is, too, with that handicap is I play a lot of golf with a lot of players from a 7 to a, you know, let's call it 7 to a 17. And anybody right in that middle spot you find is putting. And
it goes
that way with players like us and the pros. The goal of golf, right, is to get the ball in the hole. And if you're three putting or missing putt, the difference between a par saving putt to a bogey or a bogey saving putt to a double bogey, if you add up those strokes through the course of a round, that's the difference between, let's call it an 88 and an 85 and an 84. You could wake up tomorrow and be an 11.
For sure. For sure. I can't, like, you know, just from playing organized and professional sports my whole life, my brain, like, I can go back and I could remember, like, when I played women's football, I can go back and I can remember every play, every pass, who was open, why didn't I look them off, that was a bad mistake. I find myself doing the same thing now in golf when I'm done with a round.
Right.
I'll look back and I'll be like, oh man, that shot on 16 and that putt on 8, and I can go back and I can remember every stroke and every shot. And when I go back, Matt, it's like at least anywhere between 4 or 5 putts that could have been the difference of me breaking 80.
That's the beauty and the addiction of the sport. Like I tell anyone, I do Maddie and the Caddy, the podcast, at ESPN, the golf podcast, to do our coverage at the Masters, and it'll be a part of the PGA Championship. That if you talk to anyone who plays the game, as I tell it, you know, you drive the ball all day, you could be up in and around the green, but I would encourage anyone who loves the sport and loves the game like we do, next time you go out, and I'm being serious, take your scorecard out. And every time you're on a hole where there's a wasted shot, I want you to notate that somewhere on your scorecard. Just a quick like asterisk of what the wasted shot was. Count those up at the end of the round, and you'd be surprised at the reality of what your skill level could be relative to what you're doing. And just clean up those mistakes, and it'll be great.
Again, Matt Berry joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Because let's face it. The PGA Tour, the only thing that's active and attractive, like I said before, unless you're up at like 1:30 in the morning watching Korean baseball or you're gambling on ping pong like Doug Kazarian does. Don't tell him I told you. but here's the thing, Matt. DeChambeau, dude went out, ton of protein shakes. Really didn't watch what he ate specifically, just kind of like wanted to bulk up. Let's be honest, he's got the dad bod. He still has a little bit of gut. But here's the thing. To me, it's not so much the weight that he put on. Matt, it's his clubhead speed. It's ridiculous. It makes me nervous. It's so fast. I can't wrap my head around it, Matt.
See, what people don't know about him, and maybe they do, is that Bryson is one of those players who he's a lab rat and a scientist that understands the dynamics of the swing and the angles and the math and everything wrapped around it. And he went in during quarantine, took the 13 weeks off or however many weeks he had off. And he basically came to the conclusion via math and studying, et cetera, that if he put himself in a position to hit more 9 irons and wedges, he would have a better opportunity to compete and win in more tournaments. That's it. Everyone's like, why did he do this? Don't read into it. He did it because he did a mathematical study on the fact that he knew that he could win with wedges and putting. And so you look at some of his driving statistics coming out of Rocket Mortgage, and they're absolutely absurd. He hit a 9-iron, I think, the other day from 180 yards out. He has found a way to put on the weight, use the strength to mathematically give himself a better chance to win. Now, I said it today on the podcast, and I'll say it again here. Whether that's sustainable beyond 2 years, I don't know. Every time you see some of these players bulk up, Tiger, Rory, Jason Day, some of these guys that come to mind, it's physically not the greatest thing on your body. But if he can find a way to stay healthy, he believes that he has put, and at least has proven at this point, he's put together a game plan based on science that looks to be dangerous for the rest of the PGA if he keeps this up.
Favored now going into the Masters, 10-1. Tiger is 16-1.
Yeah, but see, that's just for talking purposes. At the end of the day, and Bryson, I believe, he had either the 18-hole lead or the 36-hole lead. I believe it was last year. It's all running together now because of how many things have been put on hold. But here's the deal with Augusta National. You know the Masters. I've been there and done it several times. You could be a bomber off. That's all well and good. Augusta National, the Masters, comes down to putting. That's it. The conversation stops and starts with putting. If Bryson can putt, he'll contend. If he can't putt, he won't, regardless of how far he is off the tee.
Again, Matt Barry joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, so very interesting situation that's happening on tour. And I'm curious, you might have the answer here. I don't. Was there ever a time that the tour stayed in one stop for two straight weeks? Because we got the Workday Charity Open happening this week in Ohio, and the same course is going to host the Memorial the following week.
Yeah, I believe it happened back in 1989. The course is escaping my memory, but I know that I was just doing some reading on it a little while ago, that it did happen back in 1989, where there was consecutive weeks of a tournament playing at the same course. It is definitely going to be interesting because you're going to have it set up a little bit differently between the Workday and the Memorial. I know the Memorial made the big announcement of no fans next week like they were supposed to. But, you know, it's a good thing for these players to be able to. I mean, you've seen this now for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks now, where they're hopping all over the place, and now they get to stay in a place for 2 weeks. It was Harbortown, 89. Was in the last time it happened in South Carolina. But you get an opportunity to, like, it's been a lot. These guys are getting tested every week. They're traveling. They're getting tested every day. I like the fact, play at Jack's course for a couple of weeks. Let these guys settle down a little bit because now you're getting into the middle part of July and we're creeping up on the first major championship at the PGA Championship out in the Bay Area. So it's going to be good at least for a couple of weeks for kind of everybody to take a breath, compete in a major like situation with the Memorial in 2 weeks, of which we'll see if you know who is going to announce whether or not he's playing in that event.
Tiger.
Right.
All right. So this week, Workday Charity Open. I contribute to the chalk picks that will be on ESPN.com tomorrow. And here are my picks. I love Decky coming in. I like what I saw with his approach shots. If his putter makes an appearance this week, I'm pretty excited. Here's my sleeper, though. Here's the guy.
Okay.
100-1, Matt. Ryan Armour. Dude's on fire right now. I'm playing him to win. I'm playing him top 5, top 10, top 20, top 40. And every single day I'm playing him in match play. I think Ryan Armour has just been great.
He's been creeping up. You see his name on that first page of the leaderboard quite a bit. So I like the Ryan Armour pick. When we did our Matty Nicati picks today, a sleeper that I like, good value, 3 top 10s, made 11 or 14 cuts this year, Max Homa.
Ooh.
He's a guy to watch.
Okay.
I think Justin Thomas. I like the Justins this week. I like Justin Thomas. I like Justin Rose. I like both of those players going in. Some good value over the guy like Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's out there. I believe Bones is going to be on his bag, and you know Bones knows the memorial a lot, having caddied for Phil Mickelson forever. And don't forget local Columbus guy Jason Day. If anyone needs the comfort of some good home cooking, it's Jason Day, former world number one, major championship caliber game. Keep an eye out for Day.
Here's another one for you before I let you go. Jerry Kelly, 8-1 to finish in the... Follow me here. Jerry Kelly, 8-1 to finish in the top 40. The metrics you need here, accuracy, top of the board in regard to par three scoring, putting, scrambling, good out of the sand. I spent a good few hours today looking at all the metrics, and his name kept on popping up in every metric. So I went,
Madison,
I'm like,
Wisconsin's Jerry Kelly.
8-1 to finish in the top 40? Matt, why not?
Hey, look, I mean, is he comped on DraftKings? Is he a giveaway? Like, hey, if you...
I think he's like $6,000.
I'm just trying to figure out what the price tag on Jerry Kelly is. That's an amazing find. You could have given me a month, and I probably wouldn't have even ID'd him as an option.
Anyway, all right. Matt, again, we so appreciate your time tonight. Thank you
anytime.
So much. Please provide the information in regard to the podcast with you and Michael.
Yeah, we dropped it today. We try to record on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. It's Maddie and Caddy, MATTY and CADDIE. Get it wherever you get your golf pod or your podcast, ESPN, Apple, iTunes, whatever the case might be. We call it Weekly T-Box Dysfunction. We taught golf, but then somehow today we ended up getting on a tangent about Dr. Pimple Popper. So it's that kind of podcast with golf mixed in.
It's like it's a train wreck, right? Like it's so
That's
disgusting.
Exactly right.
But
and we're proud.
You can't stop watching it.
That's right.
Really quick, who did Michael pick to win this week?
Who did Michael take this week?
Do you remember?
I don't remember because his picks were so bad last week. Oh, wait, I have it right here. Who did he – no, I don't have the updated picks. Okay. None of his picks.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Go listen to the podcast and find out.
That's a tease. That's why I love it.
There you go. Matt, have a great night. Thank you.
All right, let's play golf soon. Take care.
Please, please. Yes, yes. Don't tease me with a good time. Anita Markson for Chris Carlin tonight. Hopefully we'll help you win some. Jerry Kelly. Boy, that's some deep, deep analysis. From this chick right here, 8-1, Jerry Kelly to finish in the top 40. Take it to the bank.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, DT, Dennis Thurman, former Jets defensive coordinator, joins me here on 98.7 ESPN. DT, it's been a hot second, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, Anita. It has been a while, but you know what? It's good to hear your voice. You sound wonderful.
Oh, thank you, my friend. So glad that you are safe and you're healthy. Hopefully your beautiful daughters are as well. Are you in Dallas right now?
No, I'm in Los Angeles. I'm hanging out in Los Angeles, spending time with my mom, you know, who's 85 now. You know, she's not getting around as well as she used to, but giving me more time to be around her and my sisters and brothers, nieces, nephews, my whole family's out here. I have a sister who lives in Virginia. Other than that, the rest of my family lives out here in Southern California.
Nice. And wearing a mask, I'm sure.
Oh, no question. No question. I'm doing what the experts ask me to do. I'm not a scientist. I'm not one of those people that gets into, you know, I have a lane. My lane has been sports. My lane has been football. So my expertise is in that. So if somebody else comes along and something else is going on and they recommend that I do this, then that's what I'm going to try to do to the best of my ability. So I'm listening to the experts.
Well, let's stay in your lane. Patrick Mahomes, 10-year extension, $450 million. DT, this dude, this cat, has the potential of earning over $500 million in 12 years. Can we just marinate for a minute, dude?
I've read about it. And the thing that I like about it is, you know, in the past, quarterbacks that have taken up the bulk of their team's salary cap have not allowed their teams the flexibility to continue to build around them. And over time, it's really become a detriment to the quarterback. But it sounds like the way everything is structured and the way that they worked it out is that they're going to continue to be able to build their offense. I'm not sure about their entire team, but their offense around what he can do and what he's shown in his capabilities. And the sky's the limit for this guy. I mean, he's as talented as any quarterback I've seen coming to the National Football League in a long time. And what he's done at about, 24 years old now, been a league MVP, been in a Super Bowl MVP, taking his team to the Super Bowl. You know, granted, he does have talent around him. And, you know, Tyreek Hill is, oh, my God, you know, Sammy Watkins and, you know, the run game, the offensive line, Andy Reid. I mean, they're gonna have to be reckoned with for a while. And, you know, I'm just happy for him. I am. I'm really happy for him.
DT, if you were still a defensive coordinator in the NFL having to go up against Patrick Mahomes, would you ever leave the facility preparing that week for him?
No.
I know you wouldn't.
No. I mean, you know, and I happen to think, you know, I think I'm pretty good at what I was doing, especially, you know, going up against some of the best passers in the history of the game. I mean, I look back on my coaching career, and I actually went up against Tom Brady 20 times, okay, from the time that we were in Baltimore to the Jets and then in Buffalo, and played against Joe Montana, played against Terry Bradshaw, you know, played with Roger Staubach. So I've seen some Hall of Famers up close and personal, and I just look at this young man, and I think that his ability is right there with all of them. If not physically gifted, he's physically gifted in a way that I don't think few of them have been. I enjoy watching him on Sunday. So coaching against the guy with the weapons he has, no, I don't think you leave the facility. I mean, you actually go into the game. You might try to, you know, after a while, scores 40-6. You know, on the sideline against you, you might take a nap then because you don't want to see anymore. But I just think the guy is that good. I really do.
Dennis Thurman joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You know, you mentioned how many times you went up against Tom Brady. What was it in 20 what? How many times?
Yeah, 20. I think it was 20. It's 20 plus. I know it's 20. Times. At least 20. Yes.
With that, in the history and the experience you've had in this league as a player and a coach and a defensive coordinator, do you believe Tom Brady is the greatest of all time, DT?
I say when people ask me that question, I think this is the way I'm going to answer it. I think that he's done in 20 years what very few quarterbacks have been able to do. You know, winning 6 Super Bowls, I believe, out of 9. Getting to the Super Bowl, at least it appears every other year, you know, almost look at the numbers. I'm not going to root against him this year being with Tampa. But having played against Joe Montana and seeing him up close and personal, if I had one game to win, you can have all the rest of them. I'm taking Joe.
Let's turn our attention to what's going on with the Jets. You know, Jamal Adams has really created a ruckus here. His camp requesting that they could go out and they could talk to other teams about trying to facilitate a trade. The teams that he listed that he'd like to go play for, teams that probably the top 10 favored to win the Super Bowl this year. Ravens being one of them, by the way. The Dallas Cowboys, and that I'm hearing is very near and dear to his heart. What do you do if you're, which by the way, I'm curious because in folks who might not know this, DT and I go way back. We were both in Baltimore together. Was Joe Douglas in, was he part of Ozzie's staff when you were in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you know,
yeah,
Joe D.
Yeah. He was a young scout at the time. And I like Joe. Joe's going to do a great job with the Jets. He's going to do a great job with them.
Totally agree. But you know, what do you do, DT? Let's hypothetically speaking, put you back as the defensive coordinator of the Jets. Jamal Adams is his camp. He wants out. You know, Greg Williams came out and said, "Man, I want him here. I want him to continue to be a Jet. I want him on my defense." I know that's what you'd say, but behind closed doors, like how do you think an organization handles that? Especially another thing, DT, I'm hearing on and off the record from very reliable people who cover that team that there are people, there are executives in that building who just do not believe that Jamal Adams wants to be a Jet. He just doesn't want to be on this squad. How do you handle a player like that?
Anita, I think it's hard. I mean, it's one of those situations where if the player doesn't want to be there, if he does not want to be there, then he's not going to perform. And he will go out and he will make the attempt to try and play. And he's going to give what he's got. But in order to play football, you have to have a clear mind, clear conscience, clear heart, and you have to you go out there because you're putting your physical health at risk every time you go out on that football field. And when everything is in sync, you can do that. When some things are a little bit off, it's hard to do. You may not recognize it, you know, in your conscious mind, but subconsciously, that's where you know, I'm not giving everything I got. I can't give everything because I don't believe in what we're doing. And I mean, it's sad to hear that this young man, as talented as he is, and you know, he has leadership qualities. He's a baller. He goes and he wants to play. He wants to win. But ultimately, you have to want to be where you're at. If you're not gonna enjoy your job, it's hard to do your job. And so to keep a guy like that in an environment that he doesn't really want to be in, I think sometimes you gotta just cut the cords and you gotta see what you can get for him and you let him go, because it's hard to mend this torn down. It's hard to rebuild those fences. I mean, I'll give you an illustration. I mean, we let Darrell Revis go when I was in New York. And even though Darrell came back, it wasn't the same. It just wasn't the same. He loved the Jets. But at the time that they let him go, he wanted to be a Jet. And it was, I mean, his heart and soul was about the New York Jets. And he wanted to start his career there and end his career there. Well, he started and he ended, but there was a disruption in the middle that he never wanted, okay? But it was above his head while he wasn't there. And, you know, some things happened and they let him go. But to understand him, his heart was a New York Jet from the time he was drafted by the Jets until the time he retired, okay, even though he wore the Chiefs uniform for a few weeks. You know, he was a New York Jet, and that's the only uniform he ever really wanted to put on. But his heart was always with the Jets. And I believe, you know, when he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame in a year or two, then, you know, he's going to go in as a New York Jet. So, understanding that part of it and then understanding where Jamal Adams is at, if a guy doesn't want to be there, it's hard for him to go out and perform up to his ability. And even short term, the long term.
Dennis Thurman joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Dennis, last thing for you before I let you continue with your Tuesday evening out west is, do you think that the NFL is going to have a season this year?
I do. I think they're gonna have to be very conscious of the climate that's going on outside of their little cocoon. And by that, I simply mean it. You got to also be listening to the experts. You also have to have a pulse of what's taking place in the cities and around the cities of these 32 teams and organizations. And the testing obviously has got to be It I mean, they got to be on point. And it's not going to be easy because these guys have families. You know, are they going to be able to be around their families? Are the families going to have to be quarantined in the house? Are their loved ones not going to be able to come around them? You know, their moms, their dads, their sisters, their brothers, their friends, you know, the trainers, the equipment people, the people that cook the meals, the people that, you know, clean up the buildings. I mean, there's a lot of people that it takes to run an organization. You know, the scouts, I mean, you name it, the secretaries. I mean, there's just so many people that it takes to run an organization, and they're all walking in and out of those buildings every day. So it's not just the players. And you're talking about having 32 teams, you know, flying across the country, going into different stadiums, going into different states, staying in different hotels. I mean, there's a lot that's going to go into this. I think they're going to try. I'm not sure if they're going to finish. I think they're going to start, but I'm not sure if they're going to finish. And I will be shocked and pleasantly surprised because I, you know, I love football. But I'd be pleasantly surprised if they finish it and they have a completion of a season.
DT, it's so good to hear your voice, my friend. It's been too long. Again, you sound great. I'm glad your family's doing well and you're healthy and you sound happy. And it's just nice to have you on the airwaves tonight. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, no problem. It's nice being semi-retired.
I'm sure it is.
Thanks for having me.
You have a great night.
No, you do the same. Thanks.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We take you to Kansas City. Adam Teicher, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN, joins us. Adam, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. I do appreciate it. You know, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, his deal is what's hot right now. It's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money. And Ty, our producer, of course, came up. Remembered the quote from Spider-Man: "With great power comes great responsibility." Mm-hmm. You cover the young man. You know, does he kind of share with us kind of some, like, a dude gets paid this kind of money? It's a lot of pressure. How do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to handle this?
Yeah, I think he was kind of made for this kind of thing. I mean, I just feel like in the pressure moments were kind of, you know, he's got pro sports in his blood. You know, his dad pitched for a bunch of years in the big leagues. He kind of hung around big league locker rooms when he was a kid. He just kind of knows how this works. And I feel like he'll do fine under this. I don't think this will change him or in any way. I feel like he'll just kind of go on with his business. You're right. It does put some added pressure. I mean, he's, you know, he's got to produce, but I do feel like the Chiefs need to be consistent contenders, get to a Super Bowl or two or more for this to be worth it. But, you know, look what he's already done for the Chiefs. He's kind of transformed the franchise. You know, they were kind of just a consistent also-ran for a long time before he got there. And now look what he's done in just 2 years as a starter. So I feel like he's probably up to the challenge. You know, we'll see. You know, some teams are coming after them for sure. You know, the Ravens look like they loaded up to make a pretty good run this year. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I feel like the Chiefs will end up getting their money's worth out of this deal, however you might define that.
You know, the question now is, okay, well, Patrick Mahomes making all this money, like, what are the expectations? Not just one Super Bowl that they have, but, like, how many more does he have to win? I was watching a sports network. It wasn't ours. but there was a...
Why were you doing that is the question.
I just, you know what it is? It's kind of like, it's kind of like political television. I don't stick to one. Like, you know what I mean? I'm kind of like, I'm all over because I'm really curious. I like the lay of the land. What is everybody else talking? You know, like, what is everybody talking about? How's everybody kind of digesting and regurgitating what's going on? But anyway, what I found interesting was they were going back and showing clips of this year's Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, two picks, somewhat of like a Hail Mary to Tyreek Hill, right? To like get out of like a third and long or fourth and long situation, to come back, and then Jimmy Garoppolo like literally misses Emmanuel Sanders by like a step that the 49ers then would have gone up again. And at the end of that game, Patrick Mahomes had the lowest QB rating in the playoff games that he's played. It was 62. Nothing to really write home about, considering like the dude averages 70 QB rating under pressure. But I guess, you know, they went through the film just to say, yeah, Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl, helped the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl. It's not like he had like a phenomenal, you know, he didn't have like the greatest game of all time. But, you know, and again, let me preface by saying, I'm not sitting here saying that Patrick Mahomes isn't well deserving of this. Okay. I mean, I've got socks with him on it. I've got a Christmas tree that has an ornament that says my Mahomes on it. Like I am a huge fan, but I just found it interesting that, you know, it wasn't his best performance in the Super Bowl. He still got paid. You know, what do you feel the realistic expectations are for the Kansas City Chiefs in what they think he could accomplish in the next decade?
I just feel like when this is all over, after 12 years, we'll look back on this deal and say, you know what, the Chiefs got their money's worth. Now, what that means, you know, that can mean different things to different people. I think there'll be some Super Bowls in there. There's probably at least a championship or two. You know, I just feel like he's going to keep them as part of the conversation. And, you know, that may be not enough, but I feel like you know, he's good enough to carry the franchise. I mean, he's already transformed it from what it was to sort of a, maybe the franchise that every team in the league wants to be right now. And I just feel like he's up to the challenge. And I know the Chiefs agree, you know, they wanted to, you know, you look at the last 2 years, and relative to what he was paid, he might have been the best bargain in NFL history. You know, 1 year he was the NFL MVP, and the next he delivered the first Super Bowl championship for the franchise in 50 years. So you know, he's already off to a pretty good start. Now he's, you know, again under some pressure to continue to play well and do big things for the team. But there's no reason to believe that he won't keep on delivering for the Chiefs.
Adam Teicher joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN. If you can, you know, kind of dive into the deal with us, right? Because, you know, usually when you look around the league and you look at quarterbacks that are making, you know, over 30, over 35, he's making $45 million a year, it really handcuffs teams to be able to go out and really spend that money, maybe on the defensive side of the ball, free agency. There's pressure onus on them to draft well, to make sure that they've got star players that are still playing on their rookie deal, that are contributing. There's a lot that goes into paying your quarterback this type of money. How is this deal structured that the Kansas City Chiefs can still be competitive even though they're paying this much money to their quarterback, Adam?
Well, yeah, you know, there's some breathing room the next 3 years. The deal doesn't really start to mushroom until 2023. So the next three seasons, they have a little bit of wiggle room to operate. And if the cap doesn't go up a dramatic amount between now and then, things maybe get a little difficult for the Chiefs. But they don't. I've talked with some people in the organization. They don't feel like. They feel like it's a crutch to say, well, you can't win or build a good team around a highly paid quarterback. And I kind of agree with them on that. I think that's an easy excuse for a lot of teams. Well, we've got, you know, Russell Wilson making this much amount, or Pat Mahomes making this much amount. We can't build around him. I don't think that's true. And more importantly, the Chiefs don't think that's true. Now, you know, it cuts down their margin for error. They're going to have to draft well and make good decisions around him. There's no doubt about that. If they don't, then it is going to be very difficult. But it can be done, and it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it. But it certainly can be done, and they agree with that they feel like this contract has the room for them to continue to build a good team around him.
Adam, last question for you. How do you think this deal affects, let's say, Dak Prescott? And there's a few other guys that are expected new deals, like Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, guys that are coming up. But really, more specifically, what do you think happens in Dallas with Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott because of this deal?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how those things turn out. You know, one thing you a lot of times see when there's so many of the game's top players at a certain position, particularly quarterback, when they're all lined up like this to get new deals, a lot of times they'll sort of play leapfrog. The next one to sign will top the last guy, and then the next guy will top the previous guy. I don't know that they're going to get to – I think this contract's going to stand up for a little while as the biggest contract. I until Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson or Dak Prescott does what Pat Mahomes has done. They've done some really good things for their team, no doubt – their teams, no doubt about it. But until they maybe win a championship or something along those lines, I don't think that they're going to top Pat Mahomes' contract. We'll see. Maybe Lamar Jackson will get there. We'll see. But it is going to be interesting to see what happens with those guys for sure.
It will. And, you know, just talking about, like, finances, you know, I just read a tweet from NFL Network is reporting that the owners want to keep 35% of the player's salary in escrow. So now there's so much uncertainty right now, right? Like pandemic world, COVID-19, will we have a season? Will we not? Will the season be complete? And to agree to this type of deal in this environment, when there's almost 50 million people in the United States that are unemployed, it's interesting.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.